Sometimes the best things need time. Sometimes they need space. And here at Goose's Quiz's Headquarters podcast, we have an abundance of both. Join us today for a cool, refreshing glass of percentages, and let it take you back to the good old days. Those days when you frolicked through the fields of numbers, not realizing these were just indeed the very basis for the percentages you are drinking in right now. Mmm, taste that goodness. What's that now? It looks like old Farmer Scott just off the fields. He's been working the land and harvesting some fresh percentages for us to ponder over. How's it going today, Scott?
It's just like my grandma used to make.
Oh, and what's this? What a day this is. We have a very special guest joining us for today. It's the farm manager, the one who quality controls every percentage sent out through the door. It's Louis. Can you give us an insight into what makes GQHQPQ percentages that much better than anyone else's?
Can you smell this? Come here, smell this. Smells like good numbers.
Great. Well, you've got a metaphorical drink and a conceptual understanding of how the game works. And even if you don't, it will be explained along the way.
All right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's me feeling ready.
Oh, it's shorts weather, that intro.
Yeah.
I mean, sad that we're both literally wearing blankets and it's been hailing.
Yeah, but now we've been drifted, swept away to sunny meadows.
Mm. I thought it was very nice there. I quite enjoyed that little intro. I could have happily done about another 5 minutes of that.
It's lovely.
Very calming.
Yeah. It was very easy writing as well. Just thinking about like cider adverts. Every cider advert ever. Unless it's Strongbow, where they've decided to start doing, well, they did for a, they had an absolute pinpoint advert for once, where they did Electric Dreams in a bar, and it was like two guys singing it, but it was like a cover of Electric Dreams, and you know that's for me was probably peak cider advertising.
That's what you think of.
You know, I mean, cider advertising is really summer, isn't it? It's a sort of like we got orchards and
beachy.
I would say more like. Fields is cider adverts. Beach for me is
maybe in Australia.
Maybe Australia cider adverts. Yeah.
And we'll say now that all of our percentages are free range.
Of course. Free from pesticide.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have that. We're allowed to say that, right?
Sure. We can say whatever we want.
There's no governing body.
If they listen, go. Hello.
The FDA.
Hello. Because tomorrow, if you listen to this on the day this is released, tomorrow I'll be at the coronation. Mm-hmm. And the people that send out all the information about the coronation are the Department for Cultural and Sport Affairs, I think mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah, Let me double check. It's a pretty big umbrella.
Let me double check that. And I think we'd probably come under them if we were managed by a governing body of any sort. It would be... I mean, if we had to go to the government to like discuss something about what we're doing, I'd say it'd be this department.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there'd be that many sort of sub-departments that go into pub quiz question.
I would say not. Let me double check though. It is the Department for Cultural, Media, and Sport. Yeah, we basically have to be under that.
Yeah, that's a huge term.
Culture, media, and sport. Unless there's one for like. The arts and entertainment.
It's culture, isn't it?
You think that comes with the culture?
Yeah. It's probably a subdivision of that.
And we're sort of media-y. And if it's anything, we're closer to is sport, but we're not sport, obviously. But, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't we suggest do sports and games like do they have, for all our rounds?
Do they have a games department?
Sorry, that just sounds like school. Is there a PE department here?
Games.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Everyone loves a big game of Boggle at the end of each day.
I saw an argument the other day that people shouldn't always refer to it as sports because it should just be sport.
But that's is that like the Americans? They say math instead of maths.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can semi-agree with it to some level, but...
Yeah. Everyone knows what you mean. Everyone knows what you mean.
Was this an online or was this an in-person
argument? It was a very passing online.
Right, you weren't. It's not like a heated argument.
Someone came up to me and said, sports and games round in a quiz? Well, actually, it was just online.
Do we call it sport and games round or sports and games?
I say sports and games.
Sports? There's lots of sports in there.
Yeah.
Sports and games. I ran a sports and games round at a wedding quiz recently.
Nice.
And I said at the start of it, there's no football questions. And one guy just went like really loud and just goes, oh, what? Because in case anyone doesn't realize, when we often announce a sports and games round, what people think that is a football round.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, because football is just such a polarizing topic that either you're Louis and you're some kind of football savant and no ever transfer fee for everyone for the last like however many years, or you don't care about football, like I would say the majority of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, is that a harsh analyzation?
I don't know if caring is the right word, but like I care about it, but I know jack shit about it.
Wait for Louis to challenge you on how much you actually care about football.
Go for it. It's not much.
Scott can care as much as he wants.
I also don't care that much. I like watching.
Yeah, I'm the same. But and I could tell you like little interesting facts about very small things, but there are people around, Louis, who knows things about football which are inappropriately detailed.
And that's fair.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
But that's how we can't ask questions about them at the quiz.
I just don't want to see as much about Ronaldo as I do on social media.
As in Cristiano?
Yeah.
No, as in I used to have a haircut that was just at the very front, like they'd missed a spot.
Yeah. I'd much rather see more about him.
Old school Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, Louis, I'm talking for you here, but what I'm meaning is you're good at football.
Thank you.
And you know a lot about it as well.
Hey.
Do you have a favorite footballer?
Yeah.
Don't say Ronaldo.
Wait for how like crazy, so niche. Like, obscure this is going to be.
Third division.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people listen exactly, but this will appeal to maybe 0.1% of the population.
That's what we're all about.
Brilliant. My favorite ever is probably, well, there's two actually. We'll go for two. we'll go for number one being Raquel May.
Yep.
And then number two would be, no, we'll stick with Raquel May. We'll go for that, for the hipster choice.
And who do they play for?
Who are
long
they?
Retired. Well, maybe 10-year retired. He was a bit of a enigmatic attacking midfield player from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Cool. Did you ever hear the story about the Brazilian guy who like fudged his way into? That's a cool story. He like,
please tell it.
Convinced. I don't know the full thing.
No, that's good enough.
pretty much convinced everyone that he was a really good footballer because he knew a lot of footballers, and then got signed, and then just pretended like he had an injury the whole time.
Amazing.
Yeah, and got paid a lot.
I mean, if you can do it, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have an injury that I can't train either. Sorry, and I have to eat a lot. And yeah. Drink a lot.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I'm just going to have to go and do that.
That's it. It's only illegal if you get caught, right?
Yeah. You guys haven't heard of Ali Dia in that case?
No.
No. I'll give you the spark notes on Wikipedia. So, a Senegalese footballer in 1996 convinced the then Southampton manager that he was the cousin of the Ballon d'Or winner. And he got a one-month contract out of it and played one game for the club before everyone realized.
Oh, but he amazing. Actually played?
Yeah.
Was he awful?
He was very good. He was a good enough footballer, but not professional, not Premier League level.
Just because you're related to someone.
Yeah, no, I don't think he was related.
He wasn't convinced. Even related.
Yeah. But if you say you're related, even if you are, I mean, even if he was related, doesn't mean that you're like...
yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Any kind of level.
I didn't expect to go talk about football.
No.
Not from that intro.
George Weah, who is now the president of Liberia, I think.
The country?
Yeah.
Not just the football?
No, just the country, yeah.
Wait, who was that you just said? You just said a name and then...
George Weah, president of Liberia.
And who's that?
He was a Ballon d'Or. I think he was the first African player to win the Ballon d'Or. Maybe the only African player to win the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, and this is the guy that he said he was the cousin of?
Yeah. Ali Dia said he was his cousin.
Right. Oh, football, such an intricate web.
Yeah,
it's great once you get into the socio-political background of football. It's, you know, it follows mankind for the last 120-130 years.
Ooh.
It's great.
I struggle though with it, and I'm going to say this straight out, because I struggle with the whole aspect of the supporters shouting at each other for a whole game. Went to a couple of football games, and what I just couldn't deal with is that there's just sets of fans who are separated by the police. And they all scream at each other for the whole game. I'm not saying it happens at every football game ever, but most of the sort of top flight football games I've ever seen, that goes on.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that is just the most ridiculous thing I'll ever see. Like, I just cannot fathom it.
Yeah, it's almost like, I'm not going to support my team, I'm going to neg the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really struggle with how that happens, or is sort of allowed, like, or sort of is planned for. It's this thing of planning for people to come to this stadium.
It's just banter.
Oh, yeah. That's what I can't deal with. I mean, any sport, basically, where you're not allowed to drink in the stadium, I think you've made a misstep somewhere. And your misstep is so severe, you should be assessing your life. Because in my mind, sport and having a pint go hand in hand. And if you aren't able to do that in your sport because of how badly you've behaved in the past, then I would say you've made a misstep.
Louis got something to say.
Yeah, I think you can drink in lots of countries for football. I think there's quite a negative attitude from the government towards football fans because they view them all as working class.
Yahoos.
They're always negative towards the working class.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
you know, it's why you get a Six Nations weekend and people drink all the time and they wreck the place.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fine because it's rugby.
Yeah. They don't wreck the place.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't think they wreck the place. I wouldn't say it wrecking.
Oh, there we go. Are you a football fan? Are you a rugby fan? Right in. Tell us the last time you wrecked the place.
I'm a golf fan. Right. That's really
he says wearing a rugby top.
Wearing golf shorts. So, no, I don't want to be so negative about it. I just find there's certain aspects of these things you're like, it feels like someone higher up, but then I understand FIFA is the highest up there and that could potentially be the worst thing ever. So, you know. If you've ever looked into FIFA and its level of...
I think we all know.
Morality.
Yeah, lack thereof.
Yeah, but if you want a quiz FIFA, we're happy to come in and get you sorted out for one. We could do a really in-depth football quiz about, you know, intense things like cousins and such and presidents.
Easy. It'd be great,
you know?
Easy.
Yeah.
Let's go into the quiz.
This is the percentage game. We have 5 quiz questions that we have put to our IRL weekly pub quizzes. We know the percentage of the hundreds of teams who have got each question correct. In the percentage game, we work together to guess the answers and then compete against each other to guess the percentage of the teams got the questions correct. Whoever gets closest to the actual percentage gets the most points. Whoever gets furthest away from the actual percentage gets the least points. The easier the question, the higher the percentage, etc. At the end, the scores are totaled and whoever gets the most points wins.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Are you feeling confident defending current champion?
Feeling a little bit off today.
Oh, no. Why?
Just in general. Yeah. But it'll be all right. We'll see what happens.
Put a brave face on.
I'll bring my best.
Yeah.
So we can make it through.
I keep on starting well and then sort of losing momentum. What's that in horse racing? Good starter, not a strong finisher. Fades. I fade. That's what I do. Yeah.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
I was listening to a few of the recent podcasts and I realized that I often get the first one very close and then just go, done. Don't have to do anything now.
This is me.
Yeah, that's basically my life, by the way. It's like, I've done something good and now I can sit and do nothing for the rest of the day.
Rest on your laurels.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, we'll see if you get the first question right.
Let's just see.
Okay, so we've got 5 questions from some random subjects. Answers, percentage, closest to, wins. Everyone knows the drill. Question 1. It's a long, wordy one.
Yay.
Question 1. What major piano manufacturers with headquarters in New York and Hamburg boast Diana Krall, Billy Joel, and Cole Porter among their official artists? So name the piano manufacturer in this case.
Yamaha make pianos.
Yamaha do make pianos.
And motorbikes.
And motorbikes. And
it's my favorite tweet every time that comes up.
Yeah.
And cymbals. Do they make cymbals? Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
And they make drums.
Drums.
Because I used to have a Yamaha YD set. They were, that was my, actually just donated them to my old school. Yeah. And then got a tour of the full school when I went in, which felt really weird because... It just felt very odd to be going round. What now? I'm 35 now, and I left school when I was 18. So many years later.
Yeah.
Math. Walking around the school being like, this is,
Weird. When I went back home, I went to pick my niece up from primary school.
Oh.
So I was walking around the school that I left when I was 11, and I was just like, huh, hasn't changed a lot, but it has also changed a lot. So,
yeah.
Yamaha.
Steinbeck?
Stein. I was thinking of a Steinbeck? Stein something.
No, Steinbeck's the one that's wrote the novel.
Steinman? No. Wrote all Meatloaf songs. Steinway?
Yeah. I think it's that one. I don't think it's Yamaha.
Who are the names? Not that that's going to help.
The official artists, Diana Krall, Billy Joel, and Cole Porter.
Steinway.
Steinington's.
Steinington's. Oh, just down on 4th Street. Yeah, yeah. They have Hamburg as well, so surely it's something. It has to be something German.
Yeah, maybe.
Steinberger.
Yeah.
Stein.
Is it Stein something? Yeah. Say Stein.
Is it Steinbeck?
Steinway Brothers and Co.
Scott's correct.
Steinway.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well played, Scott.
We did it.
We're a team.
Well. Scott. Correct. Steinbeck. Steinberger.
But we moved away from Steinbeck.
We did.
Steinway.
Gradually and slowly.
Steinway.
What percentage of teams got that correct?
Just to be clear, one of the main things I've wanted to do for such a long time is go over all the percentages we've done in the percentage game. And understand that I probably write down about 4% and just rotate them. Like, I just have four numbers I reckon I rotate in my head. Because every time I write down a number, I go, I think I write this down all the time.
Yeah.
There's certain numbers I write down. I rarely write a round number. Like, I rarely write, divisible by 10. I wouldn't write, 80 or 20. Because that feels to me like I've wasted being closer somehow.
Can we do a quick poll for people listening?
Yeah.
If they are in favor or not in favor of pianos in public places.
Oh, that is good.
We don't have to discuss it today because we've got a lot to discuss.
Yeah, let's do that as a poll.
Put the poll out.
I want to bring it to the table.
I have a feeling about this.
Oh,
right.
Teaser.
It's a tabled question that we want to get people's input in first.
I was in the train station last night and there was a guy who was sitting in the waiting area playing what looked to be a woodwind instrument at 10 o'clock at night.
A communal public
not a piano. He was playing a little woodwind flute.
Oh.
There was 20 people around.
Were you about to go on a quest?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Turn. Right. So Goose, you've said
47%.
Scott, you've
66.
Said 66. Okay. So 47, 66. This one came out at 65%.
What?
So one away for Scott. 2 points. 1 point for Goose. But does that mean he's going to come good later on?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fucked it for my other four now.
That's higher than I would have thought for that. Well, obviously.
But a little lower than what I
No, I really didn't think it. I actually thought it would be lower than what I wrote down. And I thought the way you would get me is by writing a lot lower. Because I suppose... Yeah, neither of us are. I mean, we're musical to a level, but we're drummers. We're not real musicians. Yeah,
we're both big drummers.
Both drummers.
Yeah. I do find it funny that Yamaha, I just think that they'd have different kind of logos for the different things they do, like tuning forks still for boats.
Everything needs a tuning fork at some point to get that resonance right.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned earlier, I'm off to the coronation tomorrow, if you listen to this on the day it's released.
Off to the Corries.
But I'm out on the 6th of May, I'll be at the coronation. So if you listen to this after that, I've been at the coronation, and it was great.
Good. Good to know.
I think it will be great, in past tense. So we discussed that I'm going to, which is exciting, and I'm very honoured to be invited. But one of the things that we wanted to make sure was clear was, well, not clear, but I wanted to be sure it was clear, was the reason I'm there is not because I'm just running quizzes. It's because of what we did over Twitch. And obviously we ran a lot of charitable quizzes over that time, and we also did free quizzes for everyone over Twitch for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we ran 444 of them online on Twitch. So we've got a huge following, which is awesome. But what I wanted to do was keep that in mind over the time that I was at the coronation and over that sort of whole weekend and the time I'm away. So I thought I would get everyone, every follower from Twitch printed in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep that in my pocket.
Nice. A little nod.
Yeah. I thought it'd be really nice, though, every so often to sort of pull it out and have a little look through and then see some of the names and be like, yeah, them. You know, that's cool. Like, and recognize some of the handles and be like, oh, yeah, that was really cool. Because I think I will recognize quite a few of that, like, the people in there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite excited to get it printed out and to have an actual physical book of all the Twitch followers, which I mean, what, we've got about 10,000, so
yeah.
If this was a film, you would get shot and it would stop the bullet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh no, he's dead. Wait a minute.
Got a second.
It's hit his chest pocket where his book is. He's alive.
I really feel if there's a place I'm not going to get shot, it's the coronation. You know, that's going to probably be the most high security thing in the UK for years. Years, it must be.
Yeah.
Surely, yeah. One of the most high security things you could go to.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if it does, don't worry about him.
What's this? That... Skyrim Lady 86 has
saved his life.
Done it again.
Yeah. So no, I felt it was a nice way to kind of remember the reason I'm there.
Yeah,
because I don't want. Sweet. It's not. It's not because I'm saying I'm some kind of big whatever hotshot. Because I'm not, clearly. I'm very much there to be representing a representative of a community. Nice. Of people, and my community was online.
I like that.
Yeah, and we did make a nice community as well. Funny, yeah. You mentioned that Skyrim Lady 86. That was really, like, it really comes back to me regularly, that the thought of that happening. And sorry, just in case you don't know what happened, when we were doing the Twitch quizzes over lockdown, when we were early doors, I don't think Scott will be upset me saying this, we had no idea what we were doing.
Accurate.
Sorry, I thought you were about to say no. It's like, Scott, if you knew what you were doing at that point, you did not have a good way of showing it.
Yeah.
The panic that we would have before we went live every single night for about 3 months, I would say, was palpable.
Yeah, I still get like Facebook memories coming up being like, here's a video you put up. And I was like, why is this? It's just Louis going, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. And it's because I'd go live to Facebook personally just to me and then watch the video back.
I forgot that was, we would test things to make sure the sound was coming through correctly, because we'd have so many setups that were so convoluted.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we have to plug into this laptop and then we transmit that message to a radar. But Skyrim Lady 86 basically formed one of the most ridiculous moments that happened of all of our Twitch time, when our computer stopped working.
I had to use the phone.
But then we had a system for putting up, like, graphics on top of the live video, and that system wasn't really connected to the computer or to the phone.
Yeah.
And so it just stuck the same graphic up, which was...
Skyrim Lady 86 is now following.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was just a little graphic in the background that's or on front of the whole image that stayed for the whole quiz.
Yeah.
And people just lost their minds, like, over the top. I mean, lost their minds in the sense that it was the funniest thing they'd thought they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
So that quiz, I reckon we got, like, so many more people follow. And so Skyrim Lady 86 became our, like, talisman follower for a long time.
Yeah. That turned a very stressful night into quite a funny evening.
It did. Yeah. I think that's when we realized what Twitch could be and how fun it could be.
Yeah.
Because I think up until that point, we were still a bit stressed.
Needs to be perfect.
Was that like the second or third night?
I think it was the first Saturday.
Yes. So that would have been about the fourth or fifth night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy thinking how intense that was at that point. Because that was also, was that not the time when everyone was in the room as well? Yeah. We hadn't had the full, like, rules or anything.
It was all just like, maybe soon you shouldn't start gathering with more than 30 people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So we had, like, all of, like, us three, Mark,
I mean, there wasn't,
Jack,
like, full
Alice.
Of people. There was maybe seven.
If that. It. Yeah.
If that.
I think it was that. It was the seven of us that were there. But then when it started to kick off and go crazy, I just remember there being the room of people being like, this is absolutely insane. Like, what is going on here?
Going to a break and just like, what?
Yeah.
Nah, it was fun. It was good.
It was crazy.
But yeah, you have a little pocket full of
Twitch memories.
Full of memories.
Yeah.
That's really nice. I like that.
I'm going to really listen. Just thinking about Natasha Bedingfield's song the whole time.
Good choice.
Followers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Question two. Right, question two. So what Tennessee-born actor, producer, and extreme stunt performer's real name is Philip John Clapp?
One more time, please.
So what Tennessee-born actor, producer, and extreme stunt performer's real name is Philip John Clapp?
Oh, I've just realized who it is.
Oh, okay, don't tell me. Tennessee-born actor, stunt, and director.
Producer.
Yeah, not like squashy-born. Oh, that was quite funny.
No,
deserved more.
It's okay.
Nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I know.
It's the middle name that's the most important one, and where he was born.
Philip.
No, wait. What was his middle name?
Philip John Clapp.
Middle name.
Philip John Clapp.
And then where was he born?
Tennessee.
Which is?
Knoxville. Jonathan Knoxville.
I reckon it's Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Correct.
Philip.
doesn't suit him, does it?
Like, nah. Phil Clapp.
Phil. I mean, Phil Clapp would still be a great name for
Phil Clapp. John Knoxville.
Correct. Johnny Knoxville.
Right.
All right.
Percentage of people who know that.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the things that gives this away? Tennessee, stuntman, actor and producer.
Oh, he's talking us through the process
and
here.
And John.
Yeah.
I've written down a percentage.
Oh, okay. I'll do that too then.
Okay. Hey, three.
Oh, wait. Start from like six.
28. 27. From a lower number.
Oh. 3, 2, 1, turn.
Oh, no.
Right. So, Goose, you've said
82%.
82. And Scott?
57%.
57. 82 and a 57. This one, from all the quizzes that we've done, came out at 35%.
What?
Yeah, surprisingly low.
Why am I, like, I feel like I'm now infected and I can't, like, as soon as I get the answer right and, like, I know the answer, I cannot fathom that people would not get it correct.
You know what? You got the yips.
Got the yips.
Got the yips.
Ah, let's go to a break.
Come see Goose's Quizzes in person at an IRL quiz. Visit gooseesquizzes.com and click on the quiz map to find a quiz.
We have covered the great depths of the pub, and now we move on to other topics. Today, we shall be covering the etiquette of...
bus.
And we'll be going over how you should really be acting in these situations. Come with us into the etiquette of...
bus.
I'm going to say it differently. Louis wants to talk about bus etiquette. I really only needed one cut of that, so thank you.
That spare one's for you.
Just for me.
That's one of the funniest things. Absolutely identical, saying bus, bus.
So, yeah, a little behind the curtains, how we do it is I've got a pre-record and then I just slip it in, which you might have known because it's Goose saying the first part, and then it's Louis saying the topic he wants to talk about. Brilliant. So, there we go, a little editorial.
Wait,
there.
Do we not have it like recorded and then we can just say it?
No, I told you at the start that I thought I did, but I didn't.
Oh, I didn't realize that, sorry.
We'll cut that bit out. Louis.
Bus.
What is it about buses? What bus etiquette would you like to A, interrogate?
I suppose I have two gripes to bring to the table. One of them we can't resolve today, which is the bus stop queuing method.
I don't think there's a resolution to it.
Is non-standard, which is frustrating because some people think it is uniform, but it's not. So right. Some people will queue for a bus and expect you to join the queue, even though there's four different buses coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't know which one you're getting. So just stand around, hold your ground, shuffle along.
Obviously, be polite, don't barge on if you see someone else getting on.
Also, if there's a bin at the bus stop, don't stand next to the bin in the way of the flow of like walking. Mm. I hate that.
But the main one is, close your eyes, listeners as well. You're on the bus. Maybe you're on the bus now. Who knows? You're a cool guy. You're sitting upstairs. You're enjoying the view. You're getting to your stop. It's quite a busy stop. A lot of people get off. So you get off early. You stand up early, push the button, walk along. Mm-hmm. There are a few people in front of you who've done the same. The bus is still moving to the bus stop and they go down the stairs in front of you. And then they stop at the bottom of the stairs and you're left in the no man's land of standing on the stairs. Dangerous. While the bus is moving.
Precarious.
And that's my gripe here is if you're going to go downstairs early, you have to filter out to let other people downstairs. Otherwise, you're going to cause some mishaps.
Okay.
So while the bus is moving and people are left because they can't go back, can't go forward. They're stuck on the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if there's multiple people. So you're saying that people should move towards the back of the bus.
I don't. If there's space in the ground floor, then filter out. Let people down the stairs.
Okay.
There's going to be a total reversal here of our situations. I don't give a shit about that. Like, I don't. It doesn't really bother me standing on the stairs.
Okay.
Because I think there's so much to hold on to in the stairs that often you're better placed to be standing in the stairs than even anywhere else in the bus because you've got like handles both sides. There's often a handle at higher up. There's like there's handles everywhere in the stairs.
He's thinking about himself. I'm thinking about others here.
Like old people.
Yeah.
But old people don't go up the stairs.
They do. Some do. They do, and they get trapped in that space.
I'm still of the. I obviously I don't think it's good to be standing on the stairs for ages. But yeah, I mean, I often get trapped on the stairs on the way down, and I just think it's just part and parcel of getting off the bus if it's busy.
Wow, this guy, he doesn't filter, does he?
Not a filter.
He waits at the bottom.
I would definitely be a filter at the bottom. Oh, I would definitely.
Sits on the bottom step.
Yeah. Everyone stop.
Gets a little red tape out. No, we're not open yet.
You got a ticket? Would you have got one when you lined up for the bus.
Where have you been tonight?
As someone, would you do the thing where if people are getting off the bus on the ground floor and you're getting off the bus from the top floor, would you let someone from the ground floor get off first before you get off coming down the stairs?
Are there people behind me?
No, sorry. So there's people, like there's only one door on this bus because, you know, a lot of the nice buses have two doors.
I see what you mean.
One door at the front. There's people who are at the back of the downstairs of the bus getting off. And then obviously you're the first person at the bottom of the stairs getting off with people behind you from the upstairs getting off as well. Would you let all the people downstairs get off first? Or do you think it's priority that people on the stairs get off first and then the downstairs people can just get off after them?
Probably stairs first.
Wow.
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I think that it's not the hierarchy of the bus. I think it's downstairs is the top priority to get off first.
I think that's the natural progression of
it. Yeah.
But I'm not saying that that's right.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying either, but I'm just impressed that Louis and I have reverse rules here.
It should be whoever presses the button first. And that's little tough. Ticket spits out. Yeah.
But that
like
has
like a meat counter.
Yeah, exactly.
That has a similar etiquette to, like, you know, if you're standing at traffic lights waiting and, you know, someone hasn't pressed the button, or they have,
yeah,
but you don't trust that they've pressed the button. If you go over and press it as well, it's like it's a bit more awkward because there's usually only one button.
Yeah.
And so if you reach over somebody to press the button as well. But I've had it before where I press the button to start the bus and then literally a second later someone else presses the button. You're like, yep. Did you not think why I just did that?
He did it wrong.
It has a similar feel to it. You don't trust. Do you trust anyone in the bus? No.
On our school bus, so obviously you didn't need to press the button. Like we had dedicated school routes.
Mm.
Yeah. So the bus driver ended up turning the stop button off because people would have like competition as soon as the door closed to press the button. But someone realized that once the door is actually open, you could press it as many times as you want and it just go, so you'd have to turn it off. And then we used to, think of how if we had a substitute bus driver, because we always used to have the same bus driver.
Yeah.
How many stops it would take for them to turn the sign off.
What was your bus driver's name?
Tom.
Tom the bus driver.
Yeah. No, he's a good egg.
Good lad.
Yeah. No, he was.
Yeah.
But this kind of reminds me of this sort of I don't know what the best way to do it is boarding plane. I don't want to get into it, but boarding planes.
I watched an episode of Mythbusters about it last night.
Oh, really?
It was amazing.
Okay.
Incredible. And there's also someone I was talking about who I think we should give a shout out on this podcast to is CPG Grey. He has a whole video about it.
I think I've watched it.
Spill the beans.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Basically, it is well known that airlines don't board people in the most efficient way.
Yeah.
Now, one of the big reasons for this is because if you were to do it the most efficient way, you often have to split people up of where they're sitting.
Yeah.
So if you're, I think one of the most efficient ways, I can't quite remember exactly, but we'll put the links in the show notes to CPG Grey's video because it's well worth a watch. That I think if you boarded everyone on the window seats first, So you just went, but then how you shout that out over at Tannoy, yeah, when people don't even understand, yeah, like, you're not a VIP here. Yeah. Like, you've not paid four times the price for your ticket, so yes, you're not boarding first. People still stand at the thing. Yeah. Like I've said recently, I've flown quite a lot recently. I cannot believe how stupid people are in airports. But especially when it comes to boarding, they crowd round the front bit and the section, you know, they're like, oh, it's groups one and two, and they've got seven on their tickets. Yeah. Like, you could have a nap, like, yeah, in this time. Yeah. You don't need to be here right now. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, the fastest is when you do all the window seats first.
From, like, rear windows.
I think
towards the front.
I think, yeah, I can't quite remember. I think if you only got one door boarding,
yeah,
you do, yeah, from rear to the front.
Yeah.
And you put everyone in the window seats in first, and then you do rear to front, like, second, you know, if it's three by three, you know, yeah, then you do the
organization it takes to get the most efficient boarding is not worth it.
Like, the thing is, weirdly, it would probably only be a few steps further, but the problem with it being a complicated system is people straight away wouldn't understand it.
Because, human error.
Yeah, people are idiots. And as soon as you get a group of people that are enough people, someone feels entitled enough to not want to do the system because they think they're better than it, which is what breaks systems down. Case in point, roundabouts. Every single time a roundabout, no one indicates. And roundabouts will go 20% faster, maybe more, if people indicated on a roundabout.
Yeah.
Really annoys me.
Yeah.
As you can tell, I've been driving a bit recently as well. No, the airport one is interesting. Buses one, I find there's, going back to buses and taking back full circle here, I really enjoy the moment on a bus where it gets to the key capacity where everyone has their own double seat and the bag on the other seat, because everyone's done the thing and you sat down and the comfortable thing to do is then put your bag on the other seat, fine. Then all the seats are full. It's who breaks first, who sees someone come up the stairs. And obviously, there's always going to be the case where you judge the person who comes up the stairs. That's the awful reality of it.
I'll always just pick my bag up, put on my knees.
Yeah, I'll wave at them. Me.
Yeah.
Come on, tap the seat next to you. That is a bold-faced lie.
Come on, over you come.
You.
Oh, buddy.
I got a spot for you. Been keeping this warm.
Louis just stares them out.
And no one sits next to me. So
let me tell you about Jesus.
What I find funny is, like, if I get on the bus with someone, like, me and Louis have gone to do some sound checks sometimes, and it's empty, do I sit next to them?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Scott sat upstairs. I sat downstairs.
And I said, Louis, I'll let you out first.
And then you talked to each other, top to bottom. Yeah, yeah.
We had some cups and some string. We just dangled it down the window.
Yeah. I like with the little tube that you can see the driver.
Yeah, the periscope.
Question three, 50-50. True or false? Battenberg cake originates from Germany.
Ooh. True.
Why do you think that?
Battenberg.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I would, if I heard that, I'd say, if I'm doing like that kind of quiz psychology thing of, is it too good a bluff to not be true? But it is also quite a good lie question. That's what makes a good true or false question. But I would say if I was hearing that, there's not many other questions you could ask around that situation. I think it probably is true.
Right.
What about you?
Can you ask a question again?
True or false, Battenberg cake originates from Germany.
Originates. It could be like a nod to the Battenbergs of Germany. Like, do you know?
Like the Steinbergs.
Have you studied this? Or
No. Surprisingly, from that statement.
I think it's likely to come from Germany if it's Battenberg and that's what it's called. I think Battenbergs are German. No? It feels like bat and ball, but this one's, you play it with ice instead.
Baton Rouge? Is it? That's a place.
It is, yeah. It's
not in Germany.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to...
Much to go on. I would probably say true.
Okay, we'll go with true.
False.
Knew it.
Okay. You knew it, right?
I said, I think it's false.
Cake originates in England. Early names for it are Domino Cake, Neapolitan roll, church window cake, and it was renamed, supposedly anyway, renamed in honor of the marriage of Princess Victoria, because her grandfather and was a Battenberg.
Mount Battenberg.
A nod to the Battenbergs.
Scott, have you watched The Crown?
Scott knows his stuff there.
Well, I mean, that is what you said would be, let me say that again.
It's an easy statement to say, yeah, no, of course I was right.
But that would mean it is from Germany.
No.
It's a nod to...
Yeah.
It was renamed three times.
If you'd asked me about church window cake, I'd have definitely known it was English.
Right. I think it's was it the Pavlova? It was made as a nod to the Russian, but it's not made in Russia.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Kiwi thing.
Well, there's Kiwis on top, but it's from Australia, yeah.
percentages. Right, it was false. Battenberg.
How many people got that right?
Does anyone like Battenberg? It's quite a low tier cake.
Is it?
Good pun.
Is it? What was that almond stuff? Marzipan?
Yeah.
Is that what's on top?
Is it?
Flour, jam, marzipan are the main ingredients.
Rank. Marzipan.
Flour, jam, and marzipan.
Yeah, that's our rap names.
Wait, who's who?
I go flour. I'm fine.
I think I would take jam.
Well, there we go.
The marzipan. Percentages. Go, Scott.
I wrote 55%.
55. Goose.
33.
Okay, a 33, a 55. This one came out at 79%.
Oh, it's over already.
Scott's on for the clean sweep here.
No, not a clean sweep for ages.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
I don't want to be that person.
79. That's super high, especially for a 50-50.
Yeah, people know their cakes.
People do know their cakes. That's wrong. I feel so sad.
Yeah.
I had a revelation the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, let me tell you. So, weirdly, Alice and I have been caught into watching kind of old school 90s films.
Mm-hmm.
We started with The Rock, because Alice had never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And you've heard the fan theory that it's actually James Bond. So it's Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage. And the fan theory is that the character he plays in The Rock is just James Bond, but has been is not a James Bond film. It's not a canonical James Bond film. Anyway, good story. Good way of thinking about it. But Nicolas Cage is in that as well. And then we went on to Alison watch Face Off without me. And I have never seen Face Off. She went a bit of a Nick Cage marathon.
Uh-huh. Easy to do.
And then, I know, exactly. And then we watched Con Air. Now, Nicolas Cage and Con Air to The Rock could not be a more different character, which I find hilarious. Because he's like a trained Navy SEAL, kills guys when they beat up his woman or whatever, or make some kind of pass at his woman.
Yeah.
And he speaks in a very southern accent that's marginally terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great in it.
Oh, wait until you see Face Off.
It's a great film. It's like Con Air is a great film.
Yeah.
I found out, now this is what this is all leading up to. Con Air, iconic film, right? The director of Con Air directed something else, and it could not be more different. Mm. It couldn't be more different. So the director of Con Air...
John Woo.
No, it is...
Did he do Face Off?
Yeah.
The director of Con Air is Simon West.
Oh, Westy.
So he also did Lara Croft Tomb Raider, the one with Angelina Jolie. With
Daniel Craig.
The General's Daughter. Wild Card, 2015 film.
Yeah.
The Mechanic. So he's done all
Jason
these.
Jason Statham.
Yeah, he's done all these kind of things. And then he's also in 19. Let me just get to it. In 1987, he did something very different. Not even a full film. It's a video. Oh. A music video.
Oh.
Right. Okay. This isn't. Okay. Right.
For Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Right.
Okay.
He directed with Con Air and Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up music video.
Huh.
And that video doesn't need much direction. That's a music video of a guy dancing a lot.
Yeah. Apparently there wasn't that much direction.
Agreed. So is it the same for Con Air? They just put them on the plane and said, right, we'll put cameras on
Let's
and we'll
see what happens.
Put the bunny down.
Cyrus the Virus, it's your turn to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, right.
So yeah, I just found that link incredible. And I obviously posed it to you before the podcast to see if you had any that popped up in your head straight away when I said that kind of thing.
We didn't propose it. You just you didn't give us any. Yeah, this is the first we're hearing of this as well.
All right.
You gave us buzzwords.
I gave you...
You wrote down Rickrolling to Nick Cage.
Which is exactly what it is. So, but Danny spring to mind straight away, obviously. We can take this from the audience if you get any in as well.
Yeah. George Miller.
Who's that?
Directed Mad Max.
Yes.
And?
Yes. Wait. Oh, I know this. Can't remember.
Happy Feet.
Yeah. Ooh. There's some real weird ones that are like odd crossovers between weird genres of things. You know the band Offspring?
Yeah.
Did all the music for Crazy Taxi 2. Crazy Taxi 2, they did the whole soundtrack for.
That makes sense.
Which I quite like.
That's cool.
Yeah. It sort of feels a bit like... I've not heard of many bands where they do like the full thing. You know, the full soundtrack or whatever. But they did the full soundtrack for Crazy Taxi 2.
Hmm.
So now you know.
I heard the other day that... I think it was... I can't remember. I always get The Clash and The Cure mixed up. Verbally. When someone says...
Right.
Not musically. But I think it was like the... the bassist from one of them was one of the writers of Torn that Natalie Imbruglia sung.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty interesting.
And there's like five covers before she sang it.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you would all enjoy Connection Fest and obviously quite happy if any of the viewers or listeners have connections that are weird or wonderful or insane. There's definitely some ones that are like the ones that are rolled out regularly that you hear quite often. It's like, yeah, fair enough. We've heard those ones before.
Yeah.
I want ones that I've never heard before.
I heard that the guy from My Chemical Romance started My Chemical Romance because of 9/11.
What?
That was one that came out with The Weeknd, didn't it? I think so.
There we go. Finger on the pulse.
And he's the cousin of Joe Rogan.
God. Yeah, so yeah, if the viewers have any that they want to submit that
it's a few years ago that came out, Scott.
I did it.
Yeah.
Viewers have listeners have any that they want to submit, we'd love to hear them because I love hearing connections like that. I love hearing like someone did this and this thing. It's like two completely removed just random things, you know. There's fun little facts where you get like, oh, someone did a birthday party for some place or somebody because they're friends with them. And it's like, yeah, that's interesting. But what I want is like two bodies of work that are so removed
that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I really enjoy. I mean, Rick Astley to Con Air is a jump.
It's a leap.
Huge.
Yeah, send them in.
All right, moving on. Where are we? Question four, sports. Question four, the first international football match was held in Scotland in what century? So you can give your answer either way here. But the first international football match was held in Scotland in what century?
Was it Scotland, England?
Yeah.
I think so. First rugby match was Scotland, England. Mm. International. I have actually no concept of when football was... Funny, we talked about football earlier and I said I have no care about it and you say you have some care about it. So I would say, Scott, what? Tell me when
I do care, I just don't mind. I would probably say like the 1700s.
That was where I was. I was going to the 16th century, which is like the 1700s. Is that the 1500s? Can't even remember which way around that goes.
18th century is the... 1700s.
Right, where are we in this now? Right, let's work back.
Well, let's just work on the 16th to the 17th century, or usually in the 1700s. I'd say it's, I thought it was the 1600s, I think I thought it was.
Okay.
But it might be the 1700s. 1600s is a long time ago.
1700s is a long time ago.
I would probably err towards 1700s than 16.
All right.
Keen?
Yeah.
1700s.
1800s. The 19th century. Oh. 1872.
Wow.
30th of November.
Late in the 1800s as well.
Yeah. In Partick.
Okay.
Or is it England, Scotland?
Yeah. 4,000 people attended.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Didn't know 4,000 people were around at that time.
No. Yep.
Good on them.
So yeah, 19th century, 1800s. What percentage of teams got that correct? Pressure's on.
Mm.
It's completely off. I've lost.
But how bad is he going to lose?
I'd say badly.
This could derail his year here.
It's over.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Well,
oh, wow.
Well. Goose, you've said
29%.
And Scott, you've said
71%.
Ooh, well, at 29 and a 71, this one came out at 85%.
What? Are these the right percentages?
Yeah, I think this
you're guessing.
This is a pretty straightforward one, I would say.
You're guessing century. It's pretty much a multiple choice. There's only like, what, maybe five that it could be?
Yeah, you're right. For a football match, there's only really two it could be.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's so true.
We didn't even talk about playing
football. I've lost my mind. I don't know what's going on in this
football
one.
Football in the 17th century.
I don't know what's
not many organized sports.
Right. Let's ease my pain and go to an ad.
This is a big shout out to all the Patreons who support the fundraising wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Russ Kirk, Catherine Andrews, the Canadian half of Hugo Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gitsari, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising pub quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.
Pain eased. Thanks very much for that foot rub over that time. I have two questions that are linked. I hope you've been thinking about it. And the questions are, what musical artist would you want to have the discography of? As in, like, you have done all their songs, all their albums, released all their things. Which artist would you choose that that was your life? You'd release those songs. And secondly, this can be different or the same person if you want. Who would you choose to have the life of as a musical artist? Two questions for you. I don't have specific answers for it.
Right.
Sort of. I have sort of answers for both.
Talk us through who you think.
I would say the discography of like the what they've released. I was a little bit swayed. I watched the Lewis Capaldi documentary the other day, and I really liked it, and I like what Lewis Capaldi releases. So I was tempted to say Lewis Capaldi's stuff, but then all his songs are quite sad, and he does make a point in the documentary. It's like, the point is to make people have emotions and stuff and cry. It's like, yeah. But that would make me feel a bit bad. I think I'd probably say a discography of potentially Daft Punk. Like them a lot. Or I also said Fatboy Slim. I enjoy Norman Cook's discography because you think of the number of songs there that you're like, yeah, these are great songs and they're good fun.
So would you be performing these?
No, I think it's more like,
would you just be
you could snap your fingers now and
you'd be the exact same person, but you happen to have released
all these songs. I suppose you would be performing to some extent, but this is just the point where you say that's the list of songs that you've released that you're proud of releasing, you know. So I'd probably say something like Fatboy Slim. So that's my artist one. That's my, you know, like the songs I would have liked to have done. And then lifestyle one, or, you know, the life of, I struggled with more. We went through a lot of people. We were driving about an hour the other day and spoke about it the whole time in the car, Alice and I. And just went through sort of names of people, and it's like, oh no, they're a bit too controversial, or they say things, or they've done things that are a bit stupid, or they seem to like whatever. And so then I was like, I'm really struggling to think about who I would go for. Maybe like Jack Johnson, just like clearly made an absolute mint, and then it's just kind of gone off the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Walmart yodeling boy.
He's still gone off the radar. I follow him on Instagram.
For the discography.
For both, actually.
That's so funny. I've not thought of that person for so long, but I follow them on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's my thing is like, I don't, yeah. I wouldn't want to say someone and then be like, oh, well, actually, that's a very controversial person.
You know, the other person I thought of for lifestyle of is Jack Black.
Mm. Yeah.
Just seems like they have a riot. Whatever they're doing, enjoy it. Yeah. You know, like life seems to come at them. But then they're also extremely talented.
Yes.
But that's not really part of this one. That's not like the kind of you're the...
Right.
You know, it's more just the sort of lifestyle they lead, which I think Jack Black would probably lead quite a fun life that seems to sort of not be too fussed about image and sort of all this side of things. He seems to be more kind of focused on just having a good time.
Yeah.
Also, we were talking about him, his cover of Wicked Games. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Like
him and, well, Tenacious D's cover.
Yeah.
Oh, insane. Yeah, I think that's my two answers. I would say Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim for my discography and Jack Black for my art, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking... maybe Jack White for music.
Oh, for music! Not for lifestyle. I was going to say lifestyle, like weirdo.
I don't know. I just think he's like quite talented and has some very good songs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Seven Nation Army all the way to Doorbell, and
not so much that one, but yeah. I mean, like, I mean, he's in what White Stripes and
the Raconteurs.
Raconteurs,
the Dead Weather,
who are called something different in Australia.
Are they?
Yeah.
How come?
What are they called? I can't remember.
That's weird. Like, I was about to say Illegal Jacks, but no. Like
Burger King.
Hungry Jacks.
Yeah.
And Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah, Dead Weather. I quite enjoy them. And all his solo stuff as well.
Saboteurs.
What? That's so weird. I wonder if another big band or something called the Raconteurs.
Maybe.
That's so funny.
Not big enough.
Good. Yeah. Did you watch his secret Glastonbury performance from last year?
No.
Maybe.
If you find out on YouTube, well, he wasn't on the bill. He just turned up.
Oh, right. But I mean,
I caught it for an hour. It was great.
Cool.
I don't know if it's on iPlayer, but it's on YouTube, people. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He also set a record for the fastest record produced.
Oh, wow.
Like, they like recorded it in the studio. He's got like a full on studio. Oh, what's his name? Something Man Studios, and then they like recorded it and then pressed it and stuff. Like,
oh wow!
Yeah. It
was really cool.
Quite fun to see.
So you would be, I was about to say, Jack White.
Jack.
Because I said Jack Black. You say I'm Jack White.
Third Man Records
for discography.
Yeah,
and lifestyle.
That's more tough because I don't particularly want a rock and roll lifestyle at the moment.
There's lots of people who don't think live a rock and roll lifestyle. they live quite a chill lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I had dinner next to Cliff Richard a while back. He's probably had a good life. He's been to Wimbledon a lot, and he lives in Barbados.
Wimbledon's pretty rock and roll.
So,
I don't know.
I don't think he's a bad person. Just to, you know, his discography might not be the best.
There seem to be the two contrasting good person, bad music. I don't know. Louis, have you had a thought of...
discography, Prince.
Wow, yes. Okay, that is bold and good.
Also,
just to be clear, that would be hilarious. The thought of any of us releasing any of this music is hilarious. The thought, like, just, oh, and actually I have this whole back catalogue of, especially Prince for you, Louis.
Yeah, stand by it.
Hey, look, no issue. Just real casual going to a quiz. Hi, I'm Louis. I'm here to your quiz. Well, you don't announce yourself. You don't announce your own name. No, so
I just do a symbol.
You just do a symbol, yeah. Play a noise.
Quiz host formerly known as Louis.
Which is why it works for Prince.
That's amazing.
And then lifestyle, just because really I think to have that level of stamina at any age in life, but especially at his age, would be great, would be Bruce Springsteen.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, the man can stand for hours, which is something we can really, you know, be envious of. To be able to do that for 4 hours, whatever, is unheard of, really.
I was thinking that about Mick Jagger. Like, he still just runs around.
Yeah.
and he's what, like 107?
Yeah, and you're sitting there with a hot water bottle
yeah.
behind you because yeah. he was sore from sitting around too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think of a lifestyle one?
Not yet. Not yet. Maybe next week I'll come
back. Hey, we can come back to it. I like people's input on this one as well. So we'll see.
Okay, final one.
Avoid the clean sweep.
Here we go. Final one. Question 5. What is the name for the pastry that is a cross between a croissant and a muffin?
I think I know this one. I think I've had one.
Is it a cruffin?
That's a silly name. Yeah, it is.
It's actually.
Yeah, yeah. It should be, right?
Correct. A cruffin.
That feels like it should be obvious. But I've been so off the past obviously 4 questions.
Yeah, I think you got really lucky with that answer, to be honest.
Shut up. I don't know why in Alice and I's relationship that's one of the most well used, but never in anger, well used phrases. Because I think it's because now all our friends have kids. Every time we go over to their house, they're always just like, and so then one of us goes, shut up. sorry, I have not written down one yet. What was the answer again?
Cruffin.
Croissant and a muffin.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, my pen's really run out.
Muffont.
My pen's out, but I'm sure you can make it out.
All right.
Go, turn.
Oh, what?
Oh, okay.
I'm very sneaked.
I've not put any answer that you haven't been like, oh, what?
Yeah, that's what I say every time. It's like my catchphrase of this whole thing. As soon as I see anyone else's number, I go, oh, that's a good number.
Yeah, whether like 60 away or 5 away.
It's because I have about 5 numbers I rotate every time. And so if I see any other number that's not that number, I'm like, well, how would you write that?
Ugh. Well, speaking of numbers, Scott, you said
96.
96. Goose, you said
90.
90.
I decided to break my mold and I wrote a divisible by 10 number.
Wow.
That pen's done, I think.
1996. This one came out at 74%.
Yes! Wow. Not the clean sweep.
It's lower.
It's because someone always said, that's a stupid name.
Cronut.
Yeah.
Cronut is where I came from for it. Mm. Like, that's where I was like, oh, there's cronuts aren't there. So cruffin seems to be... But it does also sound like a mythical creature.
The cruffin.
Yeah.
Answer these questions 3.
It's like a crab mixed with a puffin.
Yeah. Could be much
more terrifying.
A puffin with eight little crab legs at the bottom.
Just imagine how that would taste.
Moves really awkwardly sideways.
Does it still have wings?
Yeah, it's like basically a whole puffin with just crab legs.
That's how it only flies sideways.
Like Space Invaders.
But imagine it grabbing stuff. That'd be amazing. Mm. Like as it was swooped down to ground, it's like wow. Big old crab claws terrible. Coming down.
A lovely thing for Kirsty to draw at the end of the episode. Yeah.
Fan art. Get some fan art.
Cruffin.
Draw is a cruffin.
We went to see that. Brilliant. Well, let's get the final scores then.
Scott wins 9-6.
Wow. What a surprise.
4 questions correct in a row.
So, well, Scott, that's probably a record. Can I ask what the sort of total percentages were that we were both away from?
Of course. You were, on average, or do you want the total?
The total we'll go for.
Total, you were 182 away.
Oh.
And Scott was 83.
Less than half.
I had so many that were so bad.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, you went 18, 47, 46, 56 away, and then 16.
That's so bad.
It's a bad run.
You've had a big Monday.
I have already. It's been a long day. And so I am a bit sad about it, but I'm also like, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. That's the way the cruffin crumbles.
Just another one for the Scottaholics out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those Scottaholics. well, it's been a pleasure having you here for the podcast and enjoying our delicious sips of percentage cider. Hopefully, we'll see you all again soon for some more percentage action. Get in touch. Get some questions sent in for the People's Podcast. We're doing one soon, so make sure you get your questions in and let us know who you are so we can then get you all shouted out and everything. But have yourself a lovely week, and we'll see you all again next week for some more quizzical action. See ya.
Bye.